Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this August 31st, 2022. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 10:04 on the clock. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Lori Dombrowski with the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. Right now in studio, we have Mike Hittner with us, along with Larry Knutson from the Historic Point Boss. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Yes, good morning, James, and everybody in Radioland. I'd like a special shout-out there for James' mother, who is retiring today at McMillan Memorial Library, and thank her for all her years of service there. Especially us library patrons really appreciated her help, and best wishes to her in retirement.
That means a lot. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for doing it, because if I did it, I might get in trouble.
Right. She'd say, why did you do it?
Right. Thank you for that. Yeah. I really appreciate that. And enjoy retirement, Mom. I'm going to make sure you do. Mm-hmm. We are here today to talk about the Harvest Fair coming up. Mm-hmm. Before we dive into that, though, guys, Mike, I was doing some homework this weekend, and it looks like you guys got a new website.
Yes.
It looks fantastic.
Chris Allwarden, a member, has kind of stepped forward and taken over the website and everything, and it's refreshed, and it's, I think, easier to go through and manage and to get where you want to go, and I think it looks great.
It really does. Encourage you all to go to historicpointboss.com. That's all one word, historicpointboss.com. See what we're talking about. It looks fantastic. I like the old site, but this is really nice. Mm-hmm. There's more there, I feel. Yes. And you're right about the navigating, and I really appreciate the fact that it's so accessible. Like, it is just visually really nice to look at. Well done by her. Nice work.
Yeah.
So diving into the Harvest Fair, this is one of our favorite events to talk about. We love this one. Mike, what is something that we want to tell people right out the gate about this event for this year's, for 2022's Harvest Fair?
Well, it's a great event every year, and what's nice about it in our sense that we like is that we have apple trees there, we grow cabbage in our garden, in our heritage garden, and we use these products to make sauerkraut for the winter feast and the apple cider for spirit walk and winter feast. And so it's kind of like the culmination of the summer activities, like they would have done on the farms or whatever in the latter years when the Wakeleys were around, and still to some extent do today. Of course, today, you know, it's mostly corn and soybeans and things like that, more cash crops, but the subsistence farmers like the Wakeleys were mostly raising enough for themselves, and the Wakeleys in particular for their inn. They had an inn that was just north of the present-day house, and that slept 200. When we talk 200, now we get grandiose ideas of holiday inns where we've all stayed with our families, but this is one room for women and children and one room for men, and they slept on the floor like on bedrolls and stuff like that or on sleeping bags. So it isn't like we think of a Holiday Inn, but it was a big inn for its day and for the purpose it was used for. So.
Hmm. There is also going to be some demonstrations a part of this event.
Yeah, I'm going to do some kraut cutting or whatever to get it ready and salting so it's good ready. It takes about 6 weeks from start to finish for sauerkraut. We'll be pressing our apples. We got an old apple press there that presses the apples, gets the juice out so we can save that. We'll be giving samples of both if you like. We have kraut from last year if people like to taste what it's like, because, of course, this kraut is going to just taste like cabbage right away. But the apple cider will be a great time for people to taste and sample that. So we encourage everybody to try that.
It is autumn. You know, as we get by this point, when the fest goes on and everything, it will be autumn. So, I mean, yeah, you can't have autumn without apple cider. You really can't.
Right.
And there is nothing like fresh pressed apple cider.
Right.
There's a big difference there with that.
We have a variety of apples on the site. And then if we're a little short, we supplement with some apples from some people we know. But it's the variety of apples and the mix and everything and the freshness of it that really makes the day for it. So people really enjoy it. And in fact, we encourage the folks and the children, if they like to come out and put their hand to the wheel and press some of that apple cider. I know that our crews there sometimes get a little tired out. Larry's done it in the past, I know, and I've done it. And after you do that 3 or 4 hours, you know you've done something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we... in the past, we've used our apple cider for our later events in the year, our winter feast and things like that. And another thing this year, too, is our garden we planted towards what we would be using for our winter feast in February and that. So a lot of the things that we're harvesting in that garden, we're actually going to use in future events for us here. They can see that as well.
Yeah, it's another way by doing this and these events kind of connecting to other events. It's kind of also another way of teaching this history of how, you know, events, not just events, but really how communities, how society really survived seasons and different weather and different things is prepping, you know, using one season to prep for the next.
Right. And it's nice on this event, especially because we got so much and we try to do this at every event. Teach by doing. I mean, yeah. The kids and the adults, everybody learns more by doing something that was a past practice and maybe still carried on in some smaller regards today. But by doing it, they kind of instills in it. Larry knows he works with the school groups as I do, and Tom Bramer and the rest of us. But we're always amazed at these kids when they come back, you know, during one of our other events after they've been there with their school group. I sometimes always wonder, do they get anything out of it? But I don't know if it's osmosis or what it is, but those kids really, they'll point out to their parents or grandparents, hey, this is what you do with the corn grinder, and this is what you do here. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm sure Larry sees it in the bunkhouse. People are pointing out this and that to their parents or grandparents when they come.
Mm-hmm. You see that, Larry?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll come out, like Mike says, they'll... You know, you'll start talking about something, and then they'll pop in, and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, this will happen here, and this things like that. So it's something that when we have the school groups out there, you know, everybody thinks they're playing on their little iPhones or whatever anymore. But once you get their attention, believe me, they really pay attention, and they think it really sinks in, I think.
Very well said, Larry. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. I know that, like with the teaching I do, there's been a handful of times where we've had a grade school teacher tell us, I don't know if the kids are going to get anything out of this, but we really appreciate you doing it. And within 5 minutes, they couldn't be more engaged. Mm-hmm. I think if you give kids an opportunity, more times than not, they're going to get engaged in whatever it might be. I think sometimes it's the parents that think, oh, my kid's not going to like this or something. You know, give them a chance. Take them to it. Let them see. Because most kids, like especially if they can get their hands involved or something, they're going to enjoy it. They're going to learn something for sure.
Well, you know that, is especially even James through theater.
Yep.
When you get these kids on the stage and participating, whether it's on stage or it's backstage working on props and bringing things in for the scene changes and that, those kids really eat it up. I mean, all they have to do is get there and they get into it. I mean, they might be a little reluctant at first, but once they get into the flow, they really like it.
And it's how we keep these things going, you know? It's how we keep not only the Historic Point Boss, but keep our history alive in this area. We've got a very rich, beautiful history in this area, and it's how we can keep it going.
Yeah, and it's not only kids. Even some of the elderly people that come out there, they kind of, oh, I remember doing that with Grandpa, or I remember, you know, doing that with some relative or something like that. So it kind of allows them to reminisce a little bit that a lot of people don't have an opportunity to do.
I think, like Larry is saying, for the older folks, it's reliving what they probably either went through or saw that their grandparents did or something like that. And I think that reminiscing is an important part of growing older, too, because, I mean, we all kind of reminisce on that. And, James, you're getting close to that age. It'll be reminiscing about stuff. But, but it, you know, whether you played catch with your dad or basketball or something with the neighbor kids, I mean, that's all those things that make up the matrix of what we are.
You guys really walked into something that I was looking forward to talk about, because I've done a bit of stories on the morning show about this, and there's more and more data coming about where they find the music that you listen to, like your first music you picked out, the first music you listened to in high school, that kind of thing, that no matter how long you live, no matter what point in your life, you haven't heard that song since high school, you hear it again, takes you right back. Immediately gives you that nostalgia feeling, that good nostalgic feeling. We're finding more and more it's not just music that does that. Events do that. Different moments, you know, can create that. A flavor or a taste or a smell. Like a lot of those things can. An event like this very much does something like that.
Yes.
Where it brings back that not only you don't only have an opportunity to teach the future here and teach kids, but also the nostalgia fun and the good feeling of that along with it, that wonderful combination.
Right, and it's also, besides that, is carrying forward what happened in the past, reliving that history and perpetuating it for future generations, because Larry and I enjoy what we do, but we're not going to be here 20 years from now doing that. So there's got to be that next generation that comes forward and does what we're doing now to carry it forward for the future generations.
Yeah, and it's important to keep that alive. It really is. I think, too, one of the things that I know, and I want to say this was probably a year or so ago, I had a guest come in from Morning Magazine, and it wasn't to have anything to do with the Historic Point Boss, but they had mentioned that they went to the Spirit Walk. And I think it was the Spirit Walk they mentioned. And they were talking about how, wow, it really made me appreciate having electricity. Like, just like the simplest of things. So the kind of like perspective that it gives the young, I think, especially. But even somebody like my age, there is some perspective that comes in when I go to these events or I'm walking the paths of the Historic Point Boss over there. And it just kind of like, you know, just gives you a little bit of a reminder of how, not only how better we have things, but the people that paved the way for us to have things better.
Yeah, and as an example, Larry and I did, we had some kids out from the YMCA camp about 2 weeks ago, and Larry and I split up the groups and we rotated. But it was kind of interesting because I did the school that day, and of course everybody asked what this big thing is there. And of course, it was an old-fashioned record player that's hand-cranked with a spring-driven, basically. And when you take a record out and you say there's only one song on this side and one song on the other side, they're used to CDs and everything else. Yeah, they're used to being a whole album on a CD. And then they look at this thing and there's only two songs. You know, it's kind of hard and believable for them. But this record player is only probably 120 years old, but that's how far things have changed, especially in that type of thing. Music and electronics and all this has changed things radically in the last 40 or 50 years.
It's also kind of cool to see how many things are so similar. You brought up the apple cider pressing earlier. Some of the techniques and some of the things that we did back then that we're still doing now, or maybe just updated a little bit, but they're tinkered with a little bit, but they're still pretty much the way that they were always done.
Yeah, or they put a motor to it. Because if you had to make a lot of this apple cider, that'd be quite a project, or you'd have to have multiple days to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Again, we're talking with our gentlemen. We're talking with Mike and Larry from the Historic Point Boss about the Harvest Fair coming up Saturday, September 10th from 10 to 4 over at the Historic Point Boss. There is, well, the demonstrations Mike was talking about, there's also a chance to visit all the local haunts over there, the fun spots, the schoolhouse, the trading post, the Wakeley House. Is that correct, Mike?
Yes, everything will be open, and then we'll also have a group is doing a lunch there, so you can come down and you can enjoy lunch. You can stay for the day if you like, because they're going to provide lunch, and they're going to do more historic fare than normally you think of hot dogs and hamburgers or barbecues. They're going to do some historic fare, so that should be kind of interesting too. Us as participants at the site, you know, we'll take advantage of that too, and so we're kind of looking forward to that ourselves.
Go ahead, Larry.
One thing some people may have a little bit of interest in, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, we actually harvest ice, and we have an ice house down there. And typically this year our ice is doing really good. We revamped the ice house a little bit. And so if you want to come down and see how much ice is left, because it's full when we harvest in January. So far, it's been holding real good, so we even hope to have ice in our ice house.
I think what Don Matthews is talking about, who works in the three bay shed where the ice house is in one of those bays, the northernmost bay, is he's talking about probably emptying the ice house, putting it outside for people to see how big a blocks we have left yet and how many and that sort of thing, because pretty soon we got to, unfortunately, clean out the sawdust and everything out of the ice house, because we got to get ready for January, and it's a lot easier to clean this out while it's warm before it freezes in there and that sort of thing. So I think it's a good opportunity to see that, because most years we haven't hardly had a smidgen of ice left by September, maybe in July or June certainly, but by September usually it's pretty much gone, or it's just little misshapen bits of ice.
Right.
Thank you for bringing that up, Larry. I didn't know that. Larry, you were saying that you guys have updated the ice house made it better?
We revamped it and increased the insulation in it and made it more airtight so it holds the cold longer. And so it was kind of an experiment. We didn't know exactly when we started it, will it work or won't it work or will it make a difference? But surprisingly, it's done a wonderful job. And even though it's been, I think, a traditional kind of a warm summer, it's not been cool by any means. Everything has held up well. And we had some out for whodunit. I think you maybe put a few chunks of ice out there just for people to see. And I think Don talked about clearing it out.
We used the ice for cooling down our soda. Yeah. Things too.
Yeah. Even for whodunit, which was the end of July. Right. So.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And I got to say, as an outsider kind of hearing this and everything, it sounds very similar to what the ancestors did. And a lot of, trying things out and seeing how it works. Unfortunately for them, it was a little bit more, the stakes were a little higher if it didn't work out, or anything. But still.
Sometimes life and death, maybe.
Right. Which, again, gives us a little more perspective about our current days and times. But it also is just kind of cool to hear. Like, that's just really interesting to hear that you guys were able to try this. It worked out. That's awesome. With this event this year, Mike, is there anything new or anything that we want to make sure that people know that to definitely take a part of?
Well, I think we just want to invite everybody down. And like we've talked in the past, James, we go rain or shine. We have tents and we have the buildings. Everybody's pretty much protected that's outside. So feel free to come down, rain or shine. We make it very reasonable, and we just had a board meeting about a week ago, and we're keeping the same fees for this next year, $3 for adult, $1 for children, non-school age or free, and so we try to make it as affordable for people. Sometimes, you get in your mind, you think that, well, if we don't charge enough, they think it's not worth anything, but we also want to make it affordable so that families can come down with four or five children and not have to spend more than $20 or something to have the whole family come in. And so we want to keep that affordable.
Yeah.
One thing we've done, too, this year, and we hope to expand on this even in the future, is that we have now the site is totally handicap accessible. Mm. So for people that have come down in the past and they had a little difficulty getting into some of the buildings, all the major buildings now, we do have wheelchair accessibility and things like that. So
And that was something that we had thought about for years, but it was lacking, and somebody came forward and had some handicap ramps that were available to us. So the school, the house, the bunkhouse, and the cabin all have handicap ramps. So now there's no building that isn't accessible to the public. And that was a failing by us over the years, but it was just not affordable at the time until this person came forward and had some of this equipment available so that we could build these. And some of them are aluminum at this time, and we hope to convert most of those in the near future to wood that looks more historically accurate. But we also have to be aware that, in those days, they didn't know anything about handicap accessible.
Right, it was,
unfortunately, survival of the fittest in certain regards. But now we want to make that so it's available to all the public. In the past, sometimes people have come and they couldn't get in the house or maybe in the cabin, but now they can get in all the buildings.
And I'm sure it's something that you guys would have loved to have been able to do years ago, but this brings me to funds and the ability to be able to do things like that and have events like the Harvest Fair and the Spirit Walk and all these. And that's where we as a community come in and go to these events and pay these $3 or the dollar for your children or any of these things, because that's where the funds go, everybody. It goes right to that. If you're able to donate to the Historic Point Boss, that's where the funds go to be able to keep these things, not only the place running in its own, but to make it even better for and more accessible to everybody.
Yeah, and we've tried to been fortunate in a certain regard too. We've gotten some bequests from some people that have passed that have been close to us, and that's made a little more funds available. We're very conservative in regards to spending money. Mm-hmm. We don't have any paid staff, so first of all, we're all volunteers, so there's no big amount of going out. Our real regular bills are our electricity and heating for a couple of the buildings. Otherwise, we don't have any major expenses. We try to keep that down. Larry was mentioned before we went on air, and I think it's a good thing to mention again, and we've talked about it, James, is our extensive trail system.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, a lot of people, we don't advertise it a lot, and actually we're working on the signage for it now to expand that interest in it a little bit. But we've got a very, what I consider, a massive trail system out there that we spent many, many hours working on. And for those that may be interested, if you park in our parking lot and walk up the hill by the schoolhouse and you go on the south end of the schoolhouse, you can reach our trail system on that side of the creek. And it goes down by the river. It goes through the woods that we got from one of our past members at Point Boss. And it's a very good walking trail system that's in there, and it's actually very beautiful.
And we're working, James and listeners, also with Domtar. We've contacted them a couple months ago, and they're looking at giving a leasehold to us on some property that's north of our property, and that we could use their trails and maintain their trails so we can add to our trail system, which would add probably maybe about a half mile extra to our trail system, and maybe bring it up to, what do you think, Larry, around 3 miles?
That would be probably a good estimate. Yeah, we've also been working with the town of Saratoga, and with that, we have a kayak landing in there now, and that's for people that want to bring their kayaks down there to land them and stuff like that. And we do have a big board there that shows the kayak landing, but it also shows Historic Point Boss property and the trails, so you can kind of look at that map and see where the trails are too.
I love the trail system over there, but I don't think we get a chance to talk about it nearly enough. I'm so glad this came up. That's really cool, and it is something that I think that if the only reason it's not used more, I think, is because more people just don't know about it.
The more
we talk about it, the more we make sure encourage people to check it out, because it is beautiful over there.
And certainly the trails can be used year-round. We encourage people snowshoeing or cross-country skiing. They're not groomed necessarily, but you still can use those trails in the wintertime or when it's just light snow, not too heavy a snow. And we're looking forward in the future to some winter activities maybe where we can have some events that would include certain things on the trail or something like that. So.
And if you happen to see some wild berries growing there, you're more than welcome to take a handful or two.
I also wanted to mention, if I can piggyback off of what you guys are talking about there, I also wanted to mention that you guys you do tours over there, and as the school year is starting out here and everything, we'd like to remind the teachers out there and parents and everybody that tours are available at the Historic Point Boss.
Tours are available for schools. We just started something new where we do tours not on days we're open that people can contract for ahead of time, and so a group of, say, a family of five or six, or maybe a reunion group or something that had 15 or 20 people or would like to come, they can make arrangements through our website to have a tour during off times that we're not open. Unfortunately, we're open about 10 times a year. That doesn't make the site is always accessible, but the buildings aren't. But if you make arrangements for these tours, Larry and I or some one of our members will come down there and give a tour to individual families and everything, because we've had to that request in the past. Somebody came up from Illinois, they're going to be here, the Labor Day weekend, but they can't be here September 10th for the Harvest Fair. Well, you know, we can make arrangements if our staff is available to give those tours.
That's really nice to be able to offer, and it makes that things that much stronger over there, too. We have had a lot of fun talking with you guys, as always. I want to remind you again, the Harvest Fair at the Historic Point Boss is coming up Saturday, September 10th from 10 to 4. It is going to be a really fun event. You can find out more about it by going to historicpointboss.com. That's all one word, historicpointboss.com. As always, we encourage you to donate if you can to support the Historic Point Boss. Sometimes that isn't dollars and cents, though. Sometimes it's volunteering. And if you can volunteer, we appreciate you come on down and help us keep the history alive over there. Mike, is there a way to contact you or contact anybody in particular?
Yeah, you can contact me at 715-421-2061. We also, I think, on the website probably lists our Wakely phone. We got a cell phone or something that one of our members handles, and then he forwards different questions to whoever is appropriate, whether it's a tour or a volunteer or something like that. So we certainly encourage you to contact us any way you'd like.
Yeah. I cannot thank you guys enough for the time today and for the great conversation. Good luck with the event. We'll be sending some people your way. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, James.
Thank you,
WFHR.
Thank you, guys. Stick around. We got more Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this August 31st, 2022, part two with your host, James J. Maloff. It is 10:31 on the clock, and we are welcoming in Lori Dombrowski. She is the administrative assistant with Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin, serving the Wood and Portage County area. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Lori, maybe the one of the more important questions I ask you, did I get your last name right?
You did.
Okay, yay. That's great. And I got to tell you, Lori, usually with a guest, especially a first-time guest, I do my homework. I do a lot of research and everything. And while I can say I did with this particular interview here, I already quite knew a lot about Big Brothers and Big Sisters program. I was fortunate enough to get to work with some people out in the Santa Barbara area in California with the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and was able to be a Big Brother for a little while there. And there are a few things I have done in my life that felt as good as that. I would say working with Special Olympics, some shelters, similar kind of things. It is such a rewarding and empowering situation for you, for the child, for the person. You know, it's a wonderful thing that you're a part of. So right out the gate, I want to thank you and your team for the great work that they're doing with this program.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being a big.
Mm. Let's dive right into this because there's a bunch of stuff to talk about, and I don't want to waste any of your time. We're one of the first thing right out the gate talk about Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin celebrating a pretty significant anniversary.
Yes, it's been 50 years for us.
Wow, that's 50 awesome.
Years making matches, changing the little's lives and the big's lives.
That's how they would word it back there too, and I love the way that it's worded that way. Especially as adults, we put much of the focus on the children, and rightfully so, or really should. They come first in this situation. But please don't miss this, anybody. The adults get a lot out of this, too. I mean, I felt bad sometimes. I felt like my little brother, I was getting more out of it than he was at sometimes and stuff. And he always told me that wasn't the case. But it really is a twofold thing. It is a true, like, win-win situation.
It is. It changes your perspective on what a child is going through, and it gives the child a different perspective than they wouldn't get possibly at their home.
Now, the fact that we're having you in and we're getting to celebrate this 50th year anniversary is well and good as its own, but it's also important to keep in mind as we're going into September tomorrow. September is Big Brothers, Big Sisters month.
Yes, it is. So we have over 235 agencies in the United States.
Wow.
So I think they've served more than 600 million kids in the last 10 years.
That's incredible.
It
just took me a second there. That's an incredible figure. I saw a little data like that. I did not see those numbers, and that makes sense. But that's just incredibly impressive.
But there's so many more littles that are looking for a mentor.
So, Lori, I want to, if you don't mind, dive into a couple of areas when it comes to this. First, let's approach this as if somebody's out there listening and they've never heard of this program. What is the importance of this program and how does it work?
The importance of this program is to give youth that don't have the support system at home. Let's say they have an incarcerated parent. They are needing help with self-esteem, self-confidence. They just need that extra role model, and it's very easy to do. You just take them along and do just everyday no-cost, low-cost activities, taking them to the park, just talking with them, just giving of yourself and your time and letting that child know that they matter.
When it I think that it's kind of like I looked at it as when I was doing this. There's a difference between when I was playing or doing something with my own kids and then doing something with my friends' kids. Like there's a line, you know, where there's things I would do with my children that I obviously wouldn't do with theirs or that kind of thing.
Right.
And but the relationship and the joy and the excitement and the fun was the same. Yeah,
right.
It was all enjoyable. It was all fun. It's just a kind of line in the sand there of some things you just don't do, lines you don't cross or whatever. But you take that into consideration with this, and it immediately, I think, like lightens people up a little bit. I think it loosens you up a little. I know I went into it, and I took it way too seriously, which if you knew me, Lori, is not shocking. I really felt, I've got to make an impact on this kid's life. I've got to be a good influence. I have to be positive. I have to be all these things. I got around him in 5 minutes. I realized I just got to be me. I just got to be myself around this kid. That's all he's looking for. He doesn't, you know, or the idea of going into it and thinking, I got to take him to a baseball game. I got to go take him to do this thing and take him to a big theme park or something like that. I asked him, I got a couple ideas, but what do you feel like doing? He wanted to go to the beach. And that's pretty much what we did almost every time we hung out, was go down to the beach, play in the water, looking for shells, things like that. I got us lunch a handful of times. Outside of that, I don't think I spent much money, and I wanted to. I was trying to get the kid to want to do other things. He just didn't want to.
No.
And it isn't – none of this stuff was difficult. It wasn't a huge time restraint. I didn't have to put away a huge part of my day for it. You get what you put into a lot of programs. This is one of those programs, and I almost want to promise you out there that once you're a part of it, you're going to want to put into it.
Correct. It's just being a friend to that little. And when you hang out with your friends, you're not worried about what you're doing. You're not constantly going to concerts and ball games. You're just hanging out, having a good time.
That's such a good point. A great way to put it. Yeah, very well said. For those, again, that may have not known much about the program and everything, can we kind of go through some basics? Like, what is the mission statement for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin?
We want to create and support one-to-one mentoring relationships that ignite and empower the promise of youth.
Hmm. And certainly not only a noble mission goal, but doable. It's not... One of the things I want people to keep in mind with this conversation is none of these things that we're talking about are impossible. these are very easy, very accessible. Not, I don't mean easy as in I don't mean that lightly. I don't mean to take it lightly. But it does not take much out of you to put into this program.
No, we ask a year commitment to the program, and that's because a lot of children don't have the stability in their life, and we don't want them to feel like, well, this is another person that let me down. And we ask for every week, every other week, for an hour. It's very simple, very easy.
I don't know if you could ask for less out of us. And I say us as in somebody who has done this, hopes to do it more in the future. It's really the least that is being asked of the clientele, of the people being a part of this. Is there a vision for what you guys do?
That all youth achieve their full potential. So every child has potential. And an adult role model is there to help pull that potential out, give them the confidence to know that there's a purpose for them.
I was really fortunate growing up. I have a great mom and dad. And while we didn't have hardly anything growing up, I always had my mom and dad. I had that stability. I also had a dad, and I've talked about this and sharing something that he does not mind me sharing, who was in and out of jail the majority of my life and was not around. And that led to a lot of issues, led to a lot of problems. And it was one of those things where I remember as a kid being told about this program. And it was in South Chicago. Wasn't something that was really that accessible to us or anything. Nowadays, I know that it is. I've looked into it, and the program is very good in Chicago and stuff. But it's one of those things that as a kid I saw and I was like, I don't know. I was fortunate with the things that I did have. But it would have been, I can't imagine what a game changer might have been for me. So fast forward, I'm in my 30s, I'm out in California, and I hear about this program. And I'm, here's a chance for me to kind of flip the script here and maybe put back into it and everything. And it was really all the intention I had there was that and just seeing what I could do. I didn't think I honestly could do or add much to it. The thing, something that you brought up before about the year commitment. Most children that are in these situations have abandonment issues. And as somebody who deals with this and can speak to this, we can't stress enough that that commitment, that hour, you know, a time commitment, is not a lot, a big bridge of time, not a whole big thing to do. But the impact it makes on these kids is humongous. I don't even know if we could put words to it, how much it means to see that consistency, a little bit of stability in a life that has so little of it. Children's brains thrive on routine, on stability. When you're in these situations as a kid, you just don't have it. And to be able to give that to a child, to be able to help that child have some of that, just a glimpse of it even, there aren't any words for that.
No. It's something that they look forward to. I'm going to meet with my big next week, and then the next week after, I'm going to meet with my big. It gives them something to look forward to.
Is there an age requirement or a financial looked at or any of these kind of factors when it comes to being a big brother or big sister?
We enroll children that are between 6 and 17. There is no fee for the families at all. This is something that is free. We're a nonprofit, so we get our money from United Way, from Portage County in Marshfield, and we do fundraisers to get the remaining, but it's free for the families.
And as far as the big brother or big sister, they don't have to be a certain age to be able to do this. I imagine over 18, but that would probably be the cutoff right there.
Right. We have a site-based program, so that'd be in the schools or the Boys and Girls Club. They would need to be 16 for that, but otherwise 18 for the community-based. And we have retired people doing this. Any age works.
We're speaking with Lori Dombrowski, Administrative Assistant with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to dive a little more into that, Lori, the mentoring programs that are offered there.
Sounds good.
We'll talk about that and some more fun stuff when we come back on Morning Magazine here at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome, everybody, back to Morning Magazine, 1045 on this clock on this August 31st. And we are speaking with Lori Dombrowski from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. Again, Lori, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We are about to dive into some mentor programs that are offered from Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yep. Our programs, we have two different programs. We have a site-based program and a community-based program.
Hmm.
So when a volunteer comes to us and they say that they want to volunteer, they go through an enrollment process, and we explain the different programs because child safety is number one.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a pretty thorough check for our volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So a community-based program is where you would just meet with your little, doing something out in the community, going to the park, going to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
Going and help break leaves for a friend. Site-based, you would be at our schools. We are in the Jefferson School, Madison School, McKinley, Boys and Girls Club, in Stevens Point, and we also have sites at Auburndale, Loyal, and Spencer. And we are soon going to be in Pacelli Middle School in Stevens Point and in Lincoln School in Marshfield.
Cool. Oh, great. It also gives people, as far as being a big brother or big sister, an option in this. If you're more comfortable with one way or the other, you can kind of choose that. Is that correct?
Correct. And if you have a lunch period and you don't have time to give after work, you can pop in at your lunch hour and do it at the site program.
It's very similar, the volunteer aspect of this, or the big brother part, big sister part of this, if you will. It reminds me very much of Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels is such a rewarding program, and I think in some ways it's more rewarding to the person giving the meal than it is to the people actually receiving the meals. And it's such a small time commitment it asks. It's an hour, not even that sometimes, just to drop this off. The thing that can be the real time restraint is when you get to talk to these people, and you just don't want to stop talking to them.
Right.
It may be a similar thing with these kids. You get around them, and you just don't want to stop hanging out and playing with them and everything. So I know that my little brother had to remind me of the time twice. I needed a reminder. It's one of those things you get caught up in the moment.
You do. And and you enjoy your little, and so you just enjoy spending that time with each other. Now, we are expanding our community-based into the Wisconsin Rapids area. So in order to do that, we need more volunteers and more littles.
Yeah, yeah. I before we wrap up today, we will definitely hit on the volunteer aspect of this. Especially because my approach and my experience with this was as a big brother, I would like to flip this around and look at it the other side of the children that are involved in this and what it takes for a parent out there that's listening to this and they think that this will be really beneficial to their child. What are some of the things that they should know about that?
They should just know that our program, safety again, is number one. So we're always putting safety. We have match specialists that are going to support the little and the parent. They are in contact every month to see what's going on.
The program itself is built so well. I don't want to say that it's perfect, but it is a really well-designed program to where I would feel comfortable having my children a part of it, that kind of thing. And I can't think of a better compliment I can give as a parent to this program. That it's one of those things where you guys do such a good job of making the parent feel comfortable with the child going to this. What are some of the things that children involved in this program experience or know? I mean, it ranges, or details about it, that may be facts. Like, the ages range from 6 to 17, I see, and...
Yes. A lot of times children come from single family homes, but they also come from parents, both parents living in the home. Some live with their grandparents, other family members. Some are in the foster system. A lot are living probably below the poverty line, might have an incarcerated parent, a parent that maybe didn't graduate from high school. So just to know that there's that extra support system in those instances.
I think especially when we're doing this in the Midwest, where we're us Midwesterners, where we'd have a tendency to just, oh, well, I can handle it. I can take care of it myself. I can do it myself. Or we don't want to bother others or anything like that. Or that program's for other people. I appreciate you going through the details of this because I think there's a lot more people out there that realize, oh, that could be me. That this speaks to me. I am a part of this. We probably will have more use for it than we realize because you talk about that list, and there's not many families that don't have some tie to one of those things, if not a lot more than just one.
Correct. There's not something that you have to meet certain criteria. If you feel your child needs that extra support, they're shy, they're being bullied at school, this is the program to come into.
Because while the program, the focus is certainly on the single parent kid or the child growing up without really a lot of that, it doesn't just have to be that. I appreciate you making that point too. The little brother that I had, he had a mom and dad. They worked full time. They were not able to have as much time with him. And when he got done with school, there was no after school program for him to go to. So the big brother, big sister thing was what they enrolled him in. That's where I met him and everything. But he had two very good parents. They were very caring and loving. I met them. They were very overworked. They were very overwhelmed. And they were new to the area, too. So this was another way for him to get introduced into the area. But that exists more than I think we realize. I feel some people out there may have a movie idea of what Big Brothers Big Sisters is, and with that, an idea of what the client might be like, or the littles might be like in this. And while there is plenty of other children that are really needed for this, there's that kid too. And to that parent, that set of parents out there, or parent out there hearing that, it's important for them to hear those things, especially from you, Lori. Doesn't mean as much coming from me. Means a lot coming from you. When it comes to our area, our current area, like is there a wait list? Is there something like that we should have in mind?
Yes. So we do have a wait list. We have currently about 65 children in our Portage County area and 5 littles on our Wisconsin Rapids waiting list. Sometimes it will take a year for these littles to be matched, which for us, you know, at Big Brothers Big Sisters, we're constantly trying to get those volunteers. So you these littles are coming up to the math specialist at school saying, "Do you have a big for me yet?" Mm-hmm. And we're working on it, mm-hmm. and we really are working on it.
Oh, that just pulls at my heart. And that's where I not so much wrapping up, because we've got a little bit of time left here, but I did want to really take some time with that and the volunteering aspect of this. And while Lori and I could take turns going back and forth of what it's meant to us or what we've gotten from it or anything, I'm going to go back to something that I heard him, my little brother, say, talking about this. And when I told him I was moving back to Wisconsin and I probably wasn't going to see him again and stuff, and he's like, "Well, we got to keep in touch and this and that." And we have. I haven't talked to him probably a year, but we email every once in a while to each other. And his parents are in on the email too, so it's been kind of fun to hear adding with them on him keeping up on his homework or something like that. But the kid's doing great, and I guarantee that. So what he told me was, he is never going to look at the beach the same. And I have a hard time saying that, because the way he said it so flippantly, and like it meant something to him, but it, you know, it was just very casual for him. I heard that, and like this was like 14 years ago or whatever, and he might as well have just said it. Like, it still hits me. It still impacts me. They could have paid me to do this, and it still wouldn't have mattered. Like, what I got from that alone is worth more than gold, is worth more than any ruby, any amount of paycheck you could give me. This is a win-win situation when there aren't a lot of those in life. The benefit that you get from volunteering, the feelings you get from doing this, not to mention the impact that you make into your society and into your community of bettering the future, all these factors. And I don't feel like I'm still saying enough or covering enough with this.
True. It's volunteering. Whenever you volunteer, you get that special tingly feeling. And especially when you're affecting someone else's life and somebody else is looking up to you, it just is a significant impact in both of their lives.
And just to reiterate some of the things that Lori was talking about before, too, when it comes to any hesitancy to this, I don't know if I have a lot of time for this. Well, as Lori and I were talking about, it's only about an hour a day, an hour a day that it would be. That's not a huge time commitment.
Once a week. Yeah. And if it doesn't fit every week, 3 to 4 times a month, every other.
One of those things that you can work with people on their schedule on.
Definitely.
As far as the financial commitment is really what you put into it, because there are a million things. We're pretty fortunate in central Wisconsin here. There's a lot to do that don't cost anything. So there is that part of it where you don't really have to worry about that much. I wouldn't consider that as a factor in this, really.
Right. You just kind of can incorporate your little to do the things that you're already doing every day.
Yeah. And is there anything else that we could really inform the audience on when it comes to this, Lori, as far as volunteering goes?
We need to add. We really depend on volunteers. We would not have a program without the volunteers. As match specialists, as staff at Big Brothers Big Sisters, we help train, we help support the volunteers. We give them activity information if they are running out of activities. We're always there to support them.
You know, I realized something going into this, Lori, and I didn't know how often it would happen. I didn't know it would happen this much. One of the tough parts for you is you're dealing with a subject that is so impossible to put into words. It really is.
It is.
It's one of those things, like, unless you've done it, it's hard for you to understand where Lori and I are coming from here. But I promise you, and I don't say that word unless I can back it up, I promise you, if you will volunteer in this program, you'll get right away what we're talking about. That's why they couldn't word that, or that's why they couldn't. And I think that, honestly, if you stretch that out a little bit, if you've done any volunteering in your life, you might have an idea of what we're talking about.
Correct.
This is a true chance for you, and there's not a lot of these, where you can actually make an impact on the future. you can make an impact on your community. And it doesn't involve you writing a gigantic check that only billionaires can afford to give, or a gigantic amount of your time that only retired people might be able to have free, or something like that, or those billionaires again. It's something that you, me, every single one of us can be a part of. Every single one of us can have an opportunity to be a part of this program.
Definitely. I love coming to my job knowing what I do. I've been with Big Brothers Big Sisters now for almost 18 years, and I just am inspired by the stories I hear. It is just a great place to be, and I just want to be able to give every little a big that needs one or wants one.
That's what we're trying to do here. We want to make sure that every one of these kids has a big, and that's where you guys come in. Lori, if people want to find out how to volunteer, find out how to donate, invest in Big Brothers Big Sisters, because that's what it really is, investing, not donating. It's a little bit of both, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
How can they contact you? How can they find out more information?
We have a website, and it's bigimpact.org. All the information is on that website. They can also just call us at 715-341-0661. I'll probably be the one answering the phone, and I would be more than happy to give them any information that they need.
I have the website bbbsnw.org. That was one of the ones that I was looking at, too, that as far as the Big Brothers of Central Northwestern Wisconsin. It was a nice site as well. But reach out to Lori, reach out to the staff there, find out more about this, and see how you can make an impact on our community, on our future. Lori, I can't thank you enough for the time. I do want to let you know that you're going to have to come back. This went too good. You're too good at this. This is too big of an important topic for us to talk about, not to talk about again. Also, I did something in our interview I've never done. Usually, first time we have somebody on, I like to get your origin story. I like to hear a little bit about you and learn about you. But I got so excited to talk about this topic, I just wanted to dive right into it with you. But next time, we'll find out a little more about you, okay?
Well, that's fine. We will come back. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having you back. And thank you again for everything. We'll get out of here for now. We will coming up is Over the Back Fence featuring Seth. Be sure to join him for that right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.